We're going to be in Luke this morning as we continue our series, The Good Life. So I don't know about you, but I like to watch a good movie. And one of the movies that I watched has been a little while, but one that I really enjoyed. And it was really based on a book by a really profound and deep writer. The movie was called Horton Hears a Who. So I don't know if you watched that, based on the best-selling novel, Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss. That's right up my alley. It's perfect. I can't believe I got out of high school, to be honest with you. But anyway, so if you ever watched Horton Hears a Who, it's a great movie, a great little show. But the premise of Horton Hears a Who was this elephant, a big elephant. And you know, through tradition and we don't know if this is accurate. I don't know. It could be accurate, but evidently elephants have good hearing. I'm assuming that's true. I don't know if it's true or not. But anyway, so Horton was an elephant. He has good hearing, and he heard the faint cries of a little village, a little town of the who's, on a little flower, a little clover. And so what did Horton do? He picked up the clover and he was holding it and he wanted to rescue that little town, that little village of little people found in this little clover. And so Horton, he protected it. He tried to keep it safe. He was going to take it to a more safe place. Well, everybody thought Horton was crazy because nobody else could hear the cries and the talking of the who's. Now, over time, it was a perilous journey by this elephant. Just want you to know that. But eventually what happened was the people in that town, the little who's, they all got together and had a plan. And they all got together and went up to the highest point of their city. And they began to yell in unison all together, "We are here, we are here, we are here." And eventually it was so loud as they yelled out, "We are here," it broke that little sound barrier. And pretty soon other people began to hear their voices. Therefore, they were rescued and saved, not just by Horton, but by many others that could hear his voice. Now, you might be asking why I'm telling you the story of Horton Hears a Who. No reason. I just want to share that with you. And we'll get to the sermon. No, really. But I was thinking about Horton Hears a Who, and there's really some spiritual significance in this, because I was thinking about this idea of the good life that we have. And we're moving into this second part of what this good life looks like. And I don't know if you remember, we talked about how the good life in the world's standards is a little different than the good life that we have as believers. And the good life for believers is found in Jesus. Well, as I was thinking about Horton Hears a Who, as we're coming into this second part, I started thinking, in our life, We run such a crazy race in our faith. We're always moving, always going. There's all kinds of pressures and all kinds of stress and all kinds of anxiety in our life. And as we live out our faith, many times what we find is we find ourselves kind of running on fumes spiritually. We find ourselves wearing down and kind of getting on that empty side of our lives spiritually. And that begins to affect every other part of our life. And I was thinking again about the Horton Hears a Who, and what I relate it to is this, is that sometimes we get so busy doing all the things that we're supposed to do as church members, as Christians, and we get so involved in our life where it even makes us exhausted and tired and worn down that we forget to listen to the voice of our Lord saying, "I am here. I am here." Listen, Jesus says these words to us daily. "I am here." But many times in our life, we get so busy and caught up in the things that we're doing that we fail to hear the voice of the Lord saying, "I am here." This morning, we're going to talk about going from empty to energized. We're going to talk about moving from that state of being tired and overburdened and worn down, spiritually depleted, to a place of passion and energy in our relationship with God. And it all centers around Jesus and the fact that He is here and He's calling out to us to spend time with us daily. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading a familiar story to you guys, but I just kept thinking about this story. And I'll say this too, you know, God's Word has a profound impact on us and on me, obviously, and for all of us. And so first and foremost, God's Word had an impact. There was another book that for me in ministry that at a certain point where I was worn down on some things, and it's a book called Simplify, and so by Bill Hybels. And so I was truly kind of spurred on this whole thought of the good life based on some of the things that he was talking about in his book. But one of the things that I want you to hear this morning is, as we look at this passage and how important this passage could be for us today, as we talk about moving from this E and empty to energized, living a life that God has really called us to live, this good life in Him, full of passion and joy, not running on fumes. And so this passage in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, we're going to talk about the story of Martha and Mary. And you see two very different and drastic personalities in two people as they are pursuing probably how they are wired and what makes them so unique and so special. I want you to hear this also as we talk about this passage. Understand that this is not a sermon about whether it's important to just meditate and spend time at the foot of the cross all the time, or we need to be serving or not serving. Listen, that's not necessarily the main part of this passage. What is about this sermon about this passage is the fact that we need to keep the main point, the main point. No matter what, how we're wired, no matter what we're doing for the Lord, no matter how we're spending our ministry time, we need to make sure that we stay focused on what's most important. So let's look, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. If you would and you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? This is what God's Word says in Luke chapter 10. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's found in your word, and our prayers that you would just transform us. Holy Spirit, move and work in our hearts and in this place. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, at first glance, when we read this passage, and maybe you've read this passage many times, and at first glance, it almost seems unfair. It seems unfair that Jesus would be talking to Martha like this and bringing this up, because essentially we recognize this. And so know that what Martha is doing and how she is serving, that's not the issue. It's not the fact that she is preparing a meal, not the fact that she's being hospitable. Listen, that is how she is wired. Matter of fact, that is how many of us are wired. So we're not all supposed to be up on stage. We're not all supposed to be the deep thinkers. That's not how many of us are wired. Many of us are wired to be serving food, going to a soup kitchen and working there. Listen, or being behind the scenes, working in the church, coming up here on Wednesdays, preparing meals. Listen, that's how many of us are wired. And that is a beautiful place to be in ministry. Many of us, we find we're wired to sit at the feet of Jesus and really take in all the theology and get deep with different kinds of understanding of Scripture. Listen, many people are wired like that also. This is not a question of service, of how we are wired. Both of these kinds of personalities are very important and very unique, and they're all needed in our church. So there's not a question of what Martha was doing necessarily. It's not a question of what Mary was doing necessarily. But listen, there's something deeper here that I think we're going to focus on this morning that is so important. Because listen, let's face it, Jesus knew who Martha was. Jesus knew what kind of personality she had. Jesus knew what kind of personality Mary had. So I believe this story for us, as we look at the main point of this story, is really almost like a shot over the bow of a ship for us. It could be looked at almost like a warning for us to remain with our eyes open and hearts open, a kind of to encourage us to really focus in on why we do ministry, not just doing the ministry. And so as we look at this, really it comes down to a specific part of this passage. I really think gets to the crux of it all, really the point of it. And it's this right here. In verse 41 it says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.'" So if you were to boil this story down, it's not about Martha serving, because she was doing a good job. And she was doing, and it was good. It was good ministry. And it's not just about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. That was incredible. Listen, it's not about just the good ministry, but there's something even better. And Jesus is saying, listen, you are troubled and anxious about many things, but there is one thing that's most important about it all. I want to encourage you today, as we read this story, because we're going to be busy doing the ministry that God has called us to do. And that's good ministry. You're going to be going to Sunday school. You'll be going to small group studies. You'll be going serving at the racetrack. You'll be serving Operation Christmas Child. You're doing all these things, coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Listen, those are good, good things. Some of you are the kind that work in the kitchen, cleaning in the church, or some of you are doing things up on the stage. Listen, those are good things, but never forget the best thing. And that's Jesus. So no matter what you do and what service you have, listen, that is awesome, but may during your service, may you be focused on why you are serving. And never let that leave you. I love this because what it does, I think it begins pointing out some issues that happens, because when we get so busy and we get to do things and doing things for the Lord or doing things for the church, and we forget to keep the main thing as the main thing, which is Jesus, what happens is we find ourselves almost burning out. We find ourselves being depleted spiritually because we're doing and doing and doing and not taking the time to replenish in our spiritual life. And so for Martha, she was doing some good stuff. But maybe, just maybe, she was missing the most important part. And it was right in front of her. He was right there saying, "I'm here." So I'm just going to ask you the question today. Do you feel spiritually depleted today? Do you feel like you've been going and going and doing, but yet you're lacking some joy and lacking peace because you're kind of running on fumes and you're kind of running on that empty, and you need to be filled with Jesus today? Well, I think this passage is for you, because there is no worse place to be than spiritually depleted. So I want to take a few moments. Let's talk about being spiritually depleted and see maybe if we fall into that category. One is this: if you're spiritually depleted, what you find is this, is that it kind of leads to empty ritualism. It's empty ritualism in our life. What does that mean? It means you're just going through the motions. So you come to church to check a box, or you go to a life group to check the box, or you serve at Raceway, or you come up here and you help out at the church. But it's really just turns into checking the box, and you can really see how this works in your life when you come in on a Sunday to worship and you just kind of go through the motions and you kind of sing the songs and you kind of leave and you walk and look back at your time at church and you're like, I really don't remember much about that because it didn't mean a whole lot at the time. Listen, it means we're kind of just going through the motions. And can I just say, if we're running on empty spiritually, and this has nothing to say anything about person being a good person or not a good person, or good Christian or not good Christian, listen, we all fall into the category at times of running on empty. And we find ourselves doing this empty ritualism in our life. Are you finding yourself just going through the motions? I don't know about you, but I've been to church on a Sunday and I've sang the worship songs and then I've gone home and we'll be talking and be like, so what was the songs we sang today? And I couldn't even remember. Why is that? Because I'm just going through the motions. That's when you can't even remember the words of the song that you're singing. That means you've taken your eyes off really the focus and you've not made the main point the main point. And so I just want to ask you today, are you finding yourself in this empty ritualism in your life? Another way that we show that we're spiritually depleted in our life, from whatever reasons, whether it's just being busy or family issues or work, whatever it may be, is that being spiritually depleted can be physically costly. If you're spiritually depleted, it affects you physically. It affects how you act. It affects how you interact. It affects you physically. And what I mean by that is this, and maybe you see this in your life. When you are spiritually depleted, which means you're lacking spiritual fervor and passion and joy and feeling, what happens when you're lacking there, you're going to start looking other places to be satisfied. And it can be very costly physically. For instance, whether it's some with food, that kind of hits close to home, but listen, going and eating, they fill their life with that. Some, it could be alcohol, it could be a drug, it could be something else, because they're depleted and they're empty spiritually, and so we are wanting to find something to fill us up. Another area that we find that's very common today is that for believers, especially that are spiritually depleted and empty, they'll find what they need in pornography. That's very common in today. They are lacking something and they find it there. Listen, that can be physically costly in your life. When we allow the things of the world to fill us up rather than Jesus, when we start looking for that satisfaction in what's happening in our culture and our world today, listen, what's going to happen, you get to the end of it, and you're going to find yourself more empty than before. And that is devastating for us physically. You can also see it in here in kind of your attitude. And so if you are critical, if you're grumpy or angry all the time, if you lose your temper so fast, listen, you can a lot of times trace that back to the fact that you're spiritually depleted. Listen, it changes us physically. But not only that, but if you're spiritually depleted, it's not just a physical cost, but you're going to see this relationally. It is relationally toxic to be spiritually depleted. To give in to the pressures and be exhausted from all the doing and not filling yourself back up, it is relationally toxic. And I want to throw this out to you, especially if you are married, but this can be with friends or it can be just in the church. Listen, you will never be able to give somebody else something that you don't have. And so if you don't have joy and peace and love overflowing in your life through Jesus, you're not going to be able to show that to your spouse. And so when I talk about being spiritually depleted, that you are running on empty, you know what? It's going to come across in your relationships. So we talk about the idea of being overly critical to somebody else. Listen, that usually starts when we are running on empty spiritually. You know, it's been, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I will. So it's been years. I was a youth minister, but there was about a year where it was a rough year ministry-wise, and almost it was very overwhelming with things happening in my life and people upset and things happening, and you know how it is, and you guys experience that in your job too, and it was very overwhelming. But I found myself, instead of just taking it and drawing closer to the Lord, what I found myself was I was retreating. And this is one of the worst parts about being spiritually depleted. As a Christian, we retreat. It's retreatism. That's what it's called. And you, instead of going towards Jesus, you fall away from Jesus because you are overburdened and overwhelmed with the stress and anxiety of the world. So you just isolate yourself. You just walk away from being close to the Lord rather than go to Him. And we see this all the time in Christians. And You know, you don't want to, and this is a side note, but you don't want to stay at church. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to go, don't want to go to life group. Listen, this is all a part of retreatism. It's all a part of being burned out or being empty spiritually. I found myself in that predicament where I just didn't want to do anything. I was a youth minister, and I didn't really want to be around people. And I was struggling with just the anxiety and the pressure that was around me. But can I tell you who got the brunt of that? Amy. Amy got the brunt of that. You see, when you are spiritually depleted, you can't give your spouse what they need. You can't give your friends what they need. Matter of fact, you will do opposite. And so when we are spiritually depleted, it is toxic relationally. And so listen, if you find yourself today and you are struggling with relationships, you're overly critical, or maybe you're just finding it hard to even be around people, you just don't want to even attempt to do it. Listen, then check your heart. Because most of the time it really comes from being spiritually depleted. When we're overflowing, man, relationships flourish. So that's just kind of, I think, the warning that we have. And I see this in Martha. Martha's not bad, don't get me wrong at all. She's a great servant. And she is doing exactly what she's wired to do. But listen, sometimes we can kind of take our eyes off of what is most important. And I want to challenge you today. Are you spiritually depleted? Are you running on E and you need to be energized? Well, let's look at just a few things. What are some things that we can do to be energized spiritually, to be filled up, to overflowing spiritually? Well, number one is this, and if you do have your notes, you can pull those out, but number one is this: replenish by reconnecting. Replenish by reconnecting. So here is the beauty of the story of Martha and Mary. There is nowhere in that story that Jesus said, "I've had it with you, Martha. You're doing all this stuff. You're not paying attention to me." Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't say, "You're done. I've given you enough chances. It is over." Listen, he just says this: Martha, I'm here. I'm here. Let me fill you back up. Listen, it's the same with us. Jesus hasn't left us. He hasn't left the building. He is still calling out to you and to me, and he's saying, "I am here." So today, if you are running on spiritual emptiness, if you are depleted and you are tired, whether it's a family issue, whether it's a work issue, whatever it may be that has caused you to get to this point, listen, Jesus is still present and he's saying, "I am here." And it is time to replenish and reconnect. So I did a wedding last night, and it was a beautiful wedding. It was a great wedding. But it was raining, you know, you guys know the storm coming through and tornadoes coming through. It was awesome. But it was a beautiful wedding, and it was raining. And listen, I've done several weddings where it started raining, and they're outdoor weddings. And really my first one I ever did when I was pretty young. Amy and I were just pretty much newlyweds, and I did this wedding. I didn't know what I was doing. It was the best thing ever. It was pouring down rain. We're under a gazebo. It came time to let go, the doves go. And so I gave this big speech: "Your marriage is like these doves, and it's just going to whoo," like that. And so I said, "Release the doves." And they go, and then come right back into the cage. I thought, "Your marriage is doomed." What am I going to say about that? But anyway, this one was a great marriage, you know, it was a great wedding ceremony, but it started raining. I could just see it on their faces, and they're like so sad because it was raining. I'm like, "Listen, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it." This rain, it replenishes. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus does in our life, replenishes us. Listen, that is true today. He replenishes us when we call on Him. We can reconnect with Jesus. Even if we're feeling so depleted right now, we can call on Him and He is faithful. Psalm 51:10, David says this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Why would David say, a man after God's own heart, why would he? Listen, he says, "Create in me a clean heart." Why? Because he needed a clean heart. We know the sin that David had in his life. and he calls out to God and he says, renew a right spirit within me. Why would David cry out, renew a right spirit within me? Because he needed to be renewed. Listen, we are the same. And may we replenish and reconnect with God. He hasn't gone anywhere. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Listen, He is waiting for us to be intentional and reconnect. I love Matthew 11, where it says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. You know, many of you today, the good life, can I just tell you, the good life can be found in resting in Jesus. And I'm not talking about mindless sitting on the couch watching TV. Okay, that's not rest. That's not what Scripture talks about as rest. Rest is stopping and being with Jesus. It's being with Jesus. And so today, maybe that's how you reconnect. Maybe today is the day to rest. You've been going nonstop. Today you rest. But also recognize and reorganize. The second one is recognize and reorganize. Recognize what is distracting you. And I think this is important because it could be your job. You know, if you're working 60, 65 hours a week and there's friction at home and you're feeling depleted, listen, it might be time to recognize what's causing that. If you're having issues with finances and it's causing you stress and anxiety, but you know it's not being handled right, and spiritually it's depleting you because you're struggling, listen, you can start to examine those things and start making some changes. But listen, we have to find what's causing us to be distracted. What is causing us to lose focus on the main thing, which is Jesus. And we need to fix it. We need to let Jesus fix it. We need to lay it at His feet and just say, God, I need help making this right. We need to discover what's happening. We need to reorganize. And maybe it's just this. Maybe you look at what's being distracting in your life, and maybe it's you're spending too much time doing a certain thing as opposed to spending time with the Lord. Listen, today is the day to make that change. You know, I think most of us, if we're feeling depleted, if we recognize that we don't have and haven't been spending the time with the Lord that we need to be, I'm pretty sure that we can pinpoint where we spend most of our time. And we may say, and listen, I'm saying this because I'm there, I've been there, and I've said the same thing. I always say, I just don't have the time. But can I just say, and listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. You always have time for the things that are important. You always have time for the things that are important to you. And so let's examine what's causing us to be distracted. What's causing us to be spiritually depleted. And let's reorganize. Let's reschedule things to make sure that we are resting in the Lord, that we're getting fed through our time with the Lord, that we are getting filled up by Him. It's so important. And Psalm 139 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen, let God examine your heart and see what's distracting, what's happening, and reorganize. Last one is this. Oh, let me go back. I want to go back. I got a few minutes. But listen, you know, one of the things... I'm just going to throw this out too because it's frustrating to me, and I don't mean to be. I mean to be, but anyway, I look on social media, and I get on Facebook, and I never. Let's be honest with you. I don't ever respond to people. I just know the perils of responding on social media, and I've disciplined myself as much as I can to not, but I still read it. I've come to the conclusion. If we spent as much time sharing the gospel on Facebook as we did talking about politics, this world would be different. Can I just tell you that maybe that's consuming our time? Maybe we are spiritually depleted because we've been focusing on Republicans and Democrats for far too long, and we need to focus back in on Jesus. We need to make sure that people hear that this is not the end of the world, that Jesus is still on his throne, that it's going to be okay. We need people to hear that there is hope. No matter who's in the White House, there is hope, and hope is found in Jesus. We need to be sharing that more than we need to be sharing our political views. And so can I just encourage you, maybe that is causing spiritual depletion in your life today. Step away from it or reorganize it, and let's start talking about Jesus, and let's see what he can do on social media. Listen, we have the power to intentionally set our schedule and do what we need to do in order to grow in Christ rather than be distracted. That was free. All right, number three is this. Refuse to return. This is it. Refuse to return. And what I mean by that is this. If you allow the Lord to replenish you, to fill you up, don't go back. Don't go. Remember what it was like when you're running on empty, and don't ever go back. Do whatever you have to do to stay filled with Jesus, to stay full of Him and what He wants in your life, rather than go back to that state of being empty in your life. In 2 Peter in chapter 1, it talks about this growing and maturity in our faith. And it talks about, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Can I tell you, that's not about just staying put and being comfortable where you're at. It's about growing in the Lord daily. And listen, if we are moving forward closer to Jesus every day, listen, that's a plus. That is a positive in our life, that Jesus is continually moving and working in our life. We don't have to go backwards. We can continue to go forwards. Listen, it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but man, if you're moving forward, then you don't have to worry about what's behind. So listen, can we just say, I want to be filled with Jesus. I want to be replenished by Him. I don't want to run on empty anymore, and I don't want to go back to where I was. Today is the day to decide. I'm different because of Jesus, and I'm not going to go back. Now for us as believers, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that you're going to have a time with the Lord. And maybe you do have a lot of stuff going on and a lot of irons in the fire, whatever that saying is. I'm thinking maybe it's time to set aside some time for Jesus. So whatever that looks like for you, whether that's in the morning, whether that's in the evening. Listen, I don't even expect you to go in and for an hour be on your knees praying. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm just saying start simple. Maybe for 15 or 20 minutes, maybe read some passages of Scripture. But God wants to spend time with you. Jesus is saying, I am here, and He wants to replenish you. So let's spend the time getting to know Him. Maybe it's the 20 minutes that you've been spending on Facebook. Maybe that's the time to move off of that and spend time with the Lord. And let Him do a work in your life, replenish you and rejuvenate you and fill you back up to where you need to be. Listen, your life will change dramatically. How you interact with other people, how you interact in worship, everything will change when we are spiritually overflowing rather than spiritually burning the fumes in our life. Maybe it's time to find time for the Lord. Now, one of the things I've learned about, and I want to challenge you with this. One of the things I've learned about this COVID stuff with school, and our boys had to do this, and it's been really good for them, is that in order to keep them on track for their classes, because being at home, you know, they can get distracted and do different things. But they set an alarm. I don't know if your kids do this, but they'll set an alarm. And so when that alarm goes off, they know that it's time for their next class. And they won't miss that class. You know, maybe you need to set an alarm. Maybe you need to set it on your watch, on your phone, whatever it may be. But you set an alarm at the same time, on the, you know, every single day, so that when it goes off, it's Jesus time. and you make sure that you go and you spend time with Jesus. Whatever it takes, spend time with Him. Are you running on fumes? Listen, it affects everything about your life. And I'm not saying that as your pastor looking out. I'm saying that as a person that has run on fumes. So listen, it's not a fun place to be. And there's no joy in it. So today, may you make the commitment. May you make the commitment today to renew that passion in Him, to be energized, not empty, and allow the Lord to replenish that joy in your life. And may you never, ever look back.